Not a Batman.
I was trying to. I was going to keep going.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know how long we wanted to keep going.
We didn't get to the main bit with the, you know, and then a bit of like,
that's Star Wars.
I was going in for a bit of like,
but animated series,
like,
you got
like slash like Tim Burton era Batman you got coming in there.
No, that's more like Kiss by Rose on the Grey.
That was Joel Schumacher Batman. He directed Batman Forever, didn't he?
I can't remember when they transitioned. Tim Burton only did two.
Yes,
Tim Burton did two. Schumacher did two. Two,
but he had two different Batmen.
Yes,
a different Batman for his respective films. Anyway. Hello, welcome to the Vernon White Noise podcast. I'm Alice.
They're back.
I'm Bruce Wayne.
And I am Clark Kent.
And today we're going to talk about Batman versus Superman.
Batman.
Dawn of Justice.
Do you bleed?
You will.
And he did.
Yeah.
This podcast obviously contains spoilers.
We saw the film the other day, midnight screening, because that's just how much we cared. And, you know, I got up the next day to be gleefully informed by my brother that Batman v Superman was being shat on by the critics.
Yeah, like, a lot.
And I was like, you know, just to get it out of the way straight away, I left the cinema not thinking that Batman v Superman was that bad, to be honest.
No. We did have problems
yeah,
with it.
Yeah, it's no masterpiece. It's definitely a flawed film.
But we were also very happy with it.
With elements of it.
Yeah. and it, you know, made me very enthusiastic towards the DC Universe once again.
It made me enthusiastic, yeah, towards aspects of the DC Universe. The aspects I felt were handled well in the film. So, I guess, like, what were your kind of initial thoughts? Like, when watching the film overall, how did you feel watching it?
All right. I think the very first thing that came to mind was, oh, that's right, Man of Steel had this kind of somber tone.
Yeah.
And this is definitely carrying on with that.
Yeah.
And this is not the type of tone that people like in a superhero movie at the moment. People are expecting Marvel fun times.
Yes.
And they might not appreciate this, but I was really digging it. Like, particularly with some of the shots that they were using, like Superman coming down, rescuing the people from the roof.
Yeah.
Or being, like, taken in by the crowd at that religious day. And then like
it was Day of the Dead, wasn't it?
Yeah. And then a couple of like Batman shots of him just being like pissed off in his dream sequences.
Yeah.
And yeah, there were some really interesting like choices that they made putting the movie together in terms of the tone and the feel. And that was the very first thing I noticed.
Yeah, I would say sort of just my most superficial impression of the film, I wasn't bored and I wasn't angry. So like and, you know, that meant a lot.
Yeah, which is a big thing coming from him.
Yes, because
normally he gets bored and angry.
Very easily. Especially because I've spent so much of my wasted youth reading superhero comics. And I'm always like, oh, they're not doing them right. They're not doing justice to the characters.
They're not doing justice to the Justice League.
So I actually, I was entertained.
Yeah.
By and large.
Having just said Justice League, though, I should say that what I didn't like about the movie was the Justice League.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
The best part of the movie was the Superman versus Batman and the thinking around that and the ideological conflict between the two characters, particularly in a world where one of them is a god and one of them is a billionaire criminal.
Yes.
But then this whole stuff about really hamming in, like shoehorning.
Forcing in a lot of extra characters. Yeah,
stuff I didn't like.
It was awkward.
The one time I did like it was when Batman was having a nightmare sequence.
Yeah.
And we thought it was just a normal nightmare sequence. One that, mind you, also gave us plot information, told us what Batman was hunting for and a bit about his fears, i.e. Superman's going to kill everyone and become a dictator.
Yeah.
So we got that insight into Batman. It was a cool, action-packed nightmare itself.
Yeah.
And then they put the Flash there.
Yeah.
Coming from the future and saying, like, this is pretty much a reality.
Yeah.
You have to stop it. And I was like, whoa! That was cool. And maybe Lex is rambling about Darkseid at the end.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a very DC Comics-y thing of having... Because I've read comics, people are like from the future showing up in the Batcave all the time and stuff I've read. Like a good example was in Superman Batman Public Enemies, I think, which they made an animated adaptation of a few years ago. There's a bit where like old Superman from the bad future shows up and like tries to kill Batman to stop the bad future happening or something. I haven't read it in a long time, but yeah, that was felt very in keeping with the existing conventions of DC comic books.
And the cool thing they also did about that is that they gave them an out from it as well by making Batman again wake up.
Yes. So
if they wanted to, they need not have touched that ever again.
Yeah, exactly. It could all just be a dream or a vision of some kind. So yeah, I thought that was handled reasonably well. I particularly like the vision he had of like the future, the Superman dictator future, where he was trying to, you know, make some feeble effort to sort of resist Superman. And
yeah, like the idea that maybe he'd be able to resist by like tracking down this long lost crater kryptonite that someone once had, but where is it now? He looks freaking cool when he's doing that.
Desert gear, Batman. Yeah. Sell some action figures based on that.
Yeah. Then the, you know, obviously the armed guards have like the swastika like Superman patches on.
There was also the giant Omega symbol on the ground, which is obviously Darkseid's logo. I mean, there's a lot of stuff there.
And parademons! Yes. I was so excited about the parademons. I was like, what?
There's a lot of stuff there that, like, comic book nerds, I guess, would appreciate, or perhaps not appreciate, depending on how they they believe that the material was being used. But there were definitely interesting elements like that. A lot of the other stuff, shoehorning in it, elements of the other characters was not effectively done.
Yeah, like the convenience store being robbed, someone just taking a camera down, finding Aquaman, and then he swims away.
Yeah, exactly.
The, like, Dear Diary thing of Cyborg.
Yeah. That was, like, that really interrupted the flow of the film, because there's this whole sequence where Wonder Woman's just looking at these random clips on her laptop, and it's, like, in the middle of, like, a quiet, intense
action-packed and, like, plot-heavy part of the movie.
Yeah, and that was, I found, frustrating, especially because, like, it just looked crap, like...
Yeah.
Especially, it, like,
Aquaman... Didn't have the same feel that the rest of the movie
looked so
did.
Rubbish. Like, it looked like something that would have been filmed for a TV show or something, to be honest. I thought given that they're doing the Flash on TV,
it's sad to see that they're not using him.
Yeah, a different Flash in the film. Obviously, it's like different storylines and so on. But it was just kind of, it felt a little awkward to me forcing in like another Flash in there. I guess at least they're not doing any other characters that are currently being done on television. I mean, I don't really watch any of the like DC TV shows at the moment, but at the same time, it kind of feels a bit odd that they've got these two different, like, cinematic universes running. Or, like, there's the television universe and the cinema universe.
I guess the reason why is because they go, it's not working for Marvel.
Yeah.
Who are trying to do the TV universe and the movie universe are the same universe. Yeah. But then they have to account for the plots of both in both, and they struggle to because they can't have the Hollywood actors appear in a day-to-day episode of a TV show.
And I know that was a real issue I had with season one of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is the...
It's definitely an issue I had with the first half of season one of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Which I only watched season one of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I actually haven't seen the last couple of episodes of season one. But I was really frustrated with how beholden it was to the plot of Captain America the Winter Soldier.
Yeah, they're like, oh, I just got off the phone to Thor, and he said he can't help us out because he's, like...
Yeah, but they're like, oh, yeah, Hydra took over S.H.I.E.L.D. because, and then it's like, oh, but never mind, the main problem got taken care of by Captain America in this piece of movie footage. It wasn't anything to do with the actual TV show. I mean, I've been watching Agent Carter, and that's why I think that's a bit better, because it has, like, nothing to do with the plots of it, because it's in the set in the 40s, But...
We've gone too far from Batman and Superman.
Yes, Batman v Superman, I think... I was watching a review the other day on YouTube, or it was, like, just a thoughts thing from Cinemassacre, who make the Angry Video Game Nerd videos and stuff like that, and they were talking about... Batman v Superman, and James Rolfe, who is does the Angry Video Game Nerd, he was saying he felt like Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice wasn't just like a title and a subtitle. It was like the titles of two
different
films.
Movies. Oh, yeah. I can't believe someone else has said this.
Yeah, that had been jammed together. Like, a lot of their thoughts are quite similar to mine.
It does feel like two different movies.
Yeah.
There's the one movie, which is Batman v Superman, and that's the one with the tone that's separate from the Marvel world. Then there's the other one, which I think was made by executives trying to say you have to do this thing, which was like half-assed, pasted in low-quality stuff of the other meta-humans.
Yeah, and you can tell in respects like that, I think that this is very much a Warner Brothers production. I think Warner Brothers have set quite a bad reputation for themselves lately and things like that. Obviously, from what I've read, apparently... under a kind of semi-related note, is that supposedly Warner Brothers, as a company, I guess, are responsible for a lot of the massive problems with the Hobbit films.
Oh, yeah?
It was their decisions went into a lot of the kind of more iffy choices that went into that, not the directorial
so much meddling.
Yeah, and that they really are meddlers in that sense. And I definitely feel like if this had been purely Batman v Superman, we would have gotten a much better film overall.
Yeah, and I feel like the script may also reflect how the different stages of the movie were announced.
Yeah.
Like, first it was announced it's a Superman movie. Then they were going to say Batman will be in it.
Yeah.
Then they said, okay, it's Batman versus Superman. Yeah. I think that script is the one that mostly we saw.
Yeah.
Then they said Wonder Woman was going to cameo.
Yeah.
Obviously, when they said that, they were still early enough in the Batman-Superman script that they managed to kind of put her in the movie. Also, she's very much not in the movie.
Yeah.
And
that's why she's getting her own solo film, like, next year.
Which is really good. But I thought with Wonder Woman, either put her in it more, make her significant to the movie, or take her out.
Yeah, exactly.
But whatever. Her fight scene was awesome. And so was the guitar riff that accompanied her.
Yeah, I'm going to need to see it again to try and pick up on that.
Yeah,
which,
like,
which you're claiming is the 70s Wonder Woman theme, right?
Is there Wonder Woman? Yeah, but like as a riff. That's what I'm pretty sure I heard. And then they added the whole, like, it'll introduce the
Dawn
Justice
of
League,
Justice,
which is the worst, like, put in whole angle in the whole movie.
Yeah, that was definitely like the failing of the film, was that aspect. I mean, there were other bits as well they didn't capitalize upon, in my opinion, but that was the main issue. Because whenever I think of the film, I'm always like, oh, that bit where Wonder Woman's watching the videos.
Just like, oh, clicks on one, clicks on the other.
But on the other hand, best aspect of the film, in my view, Batfleck.
He was amazing.
Yeah, like, and I'm not positive about anything. But, like, I mean, I don't really know Ben Affleck for anything, because as we established the other night when, like, a bunch of us were discussing this, I apparently haven't seen, like, any films for the last, like, 20 years. So I don't know Ben Affleck from, like, Adam or whatever. But, like, I thought he was really good and, like, nailed the character.
He was also very not Ben Affleck.
From the get-go, okay? I have to take your word for it.
And he must have buffed up a lot.
Yeah, he was obviously in very bulky shape. Yeah,
which was good. It was one of the other things to Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah.
Was that we have, like, a big...
Yeah.
Batman.
Chunky Batman, yeah.
Not like a... I'm starving to get my six-pack buff, like most superheroes these days are.
Yeah, and, like, in my opinion, all the best sequences were with him, like, and that bit, there's a bit where he's, like, working out to fight, like, Superman, and it was so effective, because you know that, like, it doesn't matter how much he works out.
Because he can't do it
anyway. It's going to be, like, completely futile, and there was something I thought was really effective about that
sequence. That was, like,
sequence.
His whole character.
Yeah.
Like, the whole movie...
Yeah.
Is, like, in that workout sequence. It's not just him working out. It's a big expression of his whole deal in the movie.
And as I said the other day, like, people have criticized the film saying, oh, Batman's kind of stupid. He's not enough of a detective. And I think to some degree that's a fair criticism, although he does do detective stuff in the film. But I feel like Batman's role in this film wasn't to be a detective. It was to be this, like, impotent mid-40s man who felt like he had to do something.
But couldn't.
Yeah, but couldn't. Yeah, and it was like, did he want to take down Superman for the good of the planet, or was it partially, like, because he himself felt so frustrated and weak with the advent of this alien who could do things he couldn't?
Great way of looking at the movie.
Yeah.
The number of his scenes, like, just speak like that a lot. Like, when Superman rips open his car, and the only thing he can do is stand there.
Yeah.
He can't do anything about it. He has to be like, I'll get you, but he can't.
Yeah.
He just has to stand there and take it.
Mm. And you know, when he says to Alfred, and I thought Jeremy Irons was really good as Alfred. Like, I mean, these guys had to come in and kind of just work off stuff that was basically assuming the audience's knowledge on things. And they just, like, slipped into these roles very easily. And I thought Affleck and Jeremy Irons were really good at this. When he said to Alfred, I feel like this will be, like, the one thing I do in my life that's, like, worthwhile. I thought that that was a really effective moment in the film. Because it suggested, again, this feeling of, like, frustration.
And we did just also, like, taking away from the deeper side of the character, we did, but to the assumed knowledge, we did feel as if the character had been Batman for ages and a lot had gone on and changed him.
Yeah.
We had the burnt down Wayne Manor.
Yeah, that was a really good image.
Yeah. We had the, what was kind of like his rogues gallery.
Yeah.
Where he fights Superman, where it had, like, the pillars with all the graffiti, like, each representing, like, a different aspect or, like, a villain stuff that he's fought before.
Yeah.
And the Robin costume.
Yeah, which we didn't quite get
when we were watching is that a Batman costume?
Later.
Yeah, but apparently it was Robin's costume.
Yeah.
Which kind of means that, like, well, the Joker killed him.
Yeah. And the rumour has been that if they do make a solo film with Affleck as Batman, that the plot might revolve around Red Hood, who was originally an identity of the Joker, but later was taken on by Jason Todd when he came back to life. Not that I'm saying they would necessarily do the kind of to life thing, but, like, you know, it could be an interesting angle there, and it seems like they're setting up something to do with that.
That'd be cool.
I just hope that, like, Affleck isn't now so sad that, like, he he doesn't make the, like, rumoured solo Batman film, because I reckon a film by, like, starring and directed by him would be, like, killer in terms
and
of, like,
he's got enough
Batman
star
films.
Power to tell, like, executives and stuff to fuck off.
Yeah, hopefully.
So he could make his own movie. And the man is a fan.
Yes.
Like, hardcore.
Yeah, so I think he's well positioned to do it. And honestly, I hope that it goes ahead. Because obviously, like, they're probably not going to be put off by reviews. And I hate myself for being in this position. I hope this film makes enough money that, like, Warner Brothers is confident in making, like, a few more of these films, because I really do think that the solo Batman film would be like a really good idea.
Think about it this way. Even if this movie doesn't make enough money, yeah. Suicide Squad will.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be more, from looks of things, it's more Marvel-y.
And he's
going
to be in that.
And he is in that. He's already filmed the cameo, so he can't sag his way out of it. He is in the movie.
Yeah.
So.
That's just my thoughts, Like, if the kind of, it hasn't been, there's nothing official in terms of a solo Batman film, but if they were to do it, I think it would be a very good idea. And hopefully some one of these like faceless grey suited men at Warner Brothers is seeing like the positive reception that Affleck is getting as Batman.
Yeah, and decides we'll put him in the suit again.
Yeah.
What was said though, well, basically you have said about Batman's character and wanting to make a difference, and maybe the whole reason he hates Superman is because of his like impotence and he wants to act and do something and then like the whole afraid of the like the god that is this Krypton man, that puts him as a like a good foil to Lex Luthor.
Yeah, exactly. I felt the same way.
Whose motivations throughout the movie are not the clearest.
No.
Which I think is to the detriment of the movie.
Yeah.
Like you pretty much have to figure it out yourself slash you know, connect some dots yourself or assume that he's doing it because he is afraid.
Yeah.
Slash thinks man should kill God.
Yeah.
Maybe stuff about his religious and abusive father. Yeah. I don't know.
And at times he's a bit like Kevin Spacey Luthor in Superman Returns, talking about Prometheus and stuff. Trying to take fire from the gods or whatever, but at times he's more like Heath Ledger's Joker, where he just wants like to
crazy
like
energy.
Troll Superman because he can kind of thing, and because that's like what he believes that man should do. So,
one of my favourite moments with him was when he's making the speech to a bunch of like rich people at the gallery or whatever. Or at his base.
Yeah, his gala thing, whatever it was.
And he gets totally lost in the middle of the speech, doesn't even know what he wants to say.
Yeah.
That was my favourite bit with him.
Yeah.
Rest.
Yeah, I quite like the bit where, like, he was basically telling Superman, like, he'd captured his mother and all
that.
That
was an intense
Superman
moment.
Superman was kind of like, what the hell am I going to do, kind of thing.
I did think that was a powerful moment, and throwing Lois off the building was, like, actually like, oh my god, he threw her off the building!
Yeah.
But that could have just been because I hate heights, and they were on the end of the helicopter platform, and that whole scene, I was just nervous because they were there.
No, I mean, that obviously that was a very like classic image of Superman saving Lois as she falls down
from the building.
Different to like Margot Kidder throwing herself out the window of the Daily Planet and Richard Donner cut of Superman too.
You are Superman, you'll catch him.
Yeah, it was yeesh. I thought that was an effective moment, and I kind of like the idea that the twist was that it was his mother, so it was Martha Kent that was the one who was in danger more so than
Lois Lane.
Lois.
And also how the fact that it was Martha was the only reason why Superman and Batman are friends.
Yeah, like, even though it was kind of contrived, I like the way they played up the coincidence that Martha Wayne and Martha Kent were the...
Because, like, I never thought they would, and I've never heard them address that anywhere in comics.
Because I've thought about that before. I'm like,
everyone has.
It's like, I thought, like, oh, back in the 30s, could they only think of, like, one
name
for
a woman?
Like, Greta's mother? Yeah, like... I mean, I don't know when the character's mother, parents were named or whatever in comics, to be honest. But, like, Batman and Superman, it was, like, 38 and 39 or something that Superman and Batman respectively were invented. Like, yeah, I thought that would have come up before. Maybe it has, but...
That's why you just call them Ma and Pa Kent.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I think it was Ma Kent rather than, like, Martha Kent. Yeah. But... I thought that worked reasonably well, personally, and I like the fact that Batman was the one sent to rescue Martha towards the end of the film. And it was pointed out again in this video I was watching, and I had the same thoughts, that the sequence where Batman defeated all of Lex's goons seemed very heavily inspired by like the fight sequences in the Batman Arkham games. I felt watching it.
Like, where you have to take down all the goons.
Yeah, like you have
and
a
stuff.
Big group of men and he's, like, dropping down from the ceiling, grabbing them, and he's, like, blocking guys and beating them up and stuff like that. Yeah, I thought that, I was wondering if that was an inspiration there.
I guess it also is a moment where it gives Batman a bit of power and is able to actually do something.
Yeah, because we see the, like, later after that in the film. He's just getting, like, owned.
Yeah, which was sad. I would have liked to see him, like, do a couple of stab attacks in the back on Doomsday.
Yeah.
Or at least be the main one distracting him. Mm. Or at least, you know, get the kryptonite spear rather than, like, essentially kill Superman.
So, yeah, maybe we should get on to, like, talking about Superman before we move on to Doomsday. Henry Cavill, I felt, still didn't get enough to do as Superman, personally.
Yeah, I think they explored a lot more about the Superman part of it, and that was good. Him as Clark Kent, I'm not sure what I think about it. Because
really
I'm always... They don't give him much of it, and I worry it's because they can't do him as Christopher Reeve, and they're afraid of doing him a different way, because that's what everyone wants from their Clark Kent. Mm. But his bits as Superman were cool. Yeah. I do buy him as the Man of Steel.
Yeah. I just think he needed to be given more dialogue, to be perfectly honest. So I want to kind of see Superman talk to people and that kind of thing.
I found I like got a lot from his facial expressions.
Yes, although at times I felt like he looked like he was trying to take a shit.
my favourite one being in the courtroom that blows
up
and the shot of the fire like washing over him, and it's just like, angry slash sad slash disappointed in others and in himself, and there's this like big like moment on his face as everyone has disintegrated and he just stands there unharmed. That was amazing.
Yes, there was actually a bit of, and with that whole plot line, there was a bit of superhero what's the word I'm searching for, kind of, there was some superhero performance veterans in that whole sequence, because the senator was played by Holly Hunter, who is of course the voice of Elastigirl in The Incredibles. Yes, I thought that's
cool.
Yeah, interesting.
I like that Mercy was in it.
Yeah, who originally appeared in the DC animated series.
Although very sad
Superman.
That she got killed off.
She got blown up, like so many people did. Yeah. And sort of related to Superman, I want to talk about Lois as well. I thought Lois, maybe, I guess in Man of Steel, I felt like she was kind of like...
Not in the movie.
Well, in Man of Steel, I felt like she was kind of this person trying to make the best of a bad situation, but I felt like in this, she just seemed a bit hopeless. Like, she gets captured, Superman has to rescue her, then towards the end...
Yeah, that happens to her a lot.
Yeah, I know, but that's the thing. Like, they want to break away from the mold of Lois Lane constantly getting herself in strife and needing to be rescued.
I guess in this one, they wanted to be like, Superman is a god, but he's still a person.
Yes.
And the thing that makes him a person is the fact that he cares too much about the one he loves and his mother.
Yes.
Just like a person would. And not qualities would associate with someone who's meant to be.
Yeah. And there was this sequence where Lois, like, symbolically throws away Batman's kryptonite sphere.
Yes.
And then, like, 5 minutes later, she goes to retrieve it.
She gets out and almost dies.
And nearly drowns. And that, I thought, was a very clumsy element of the narrative.
Yes.
They could easily have done
Batman throws away the spear, deciding not to kill him, and it falls into the water and sinks.
Yeah.
That would have been smoother than...
Yeah. Yeah, or just not having the water aspect, to be honest, which is just, like, wasted time in the film, really. Because there's this point, like, when she nearly drowns, Superman rescues her, Superman comes and fishes out the kryptonite spear, and then they have this big chat about how, oh, I can't let you sacrifice yourself. And he's like, no, I have to sacrifice myself. And it's like, just give Batman the damn spear. He
Superman
can do it.
Superman can go, all right, I'm going to go fight Doomsday, Lois, run this spear to Batman. Yeah. Batman will then spear Doomsday.
Because Batman's spending the whole series going like, oh, getting smashed around the place. Yeah. Nearly dying like a bunch of times and stuff. It's like,
the only thing he does is throw his like kryptonite gas grenade.
Yeah, one. But it seemed a bit contradictory when he said he like only had one kryptonite weapon left. I assume that meant he was out of like kryptonite bullets, but I guess
because he had his one weapon.
And the point was like Batman said, you know, I have to go and get the spear, but then he didn't get to do anything about like that. You know, the whole idea was he was going to try and distract Doomsday. So maybe we should talk about Doomsday, who is kind of thrown in as the
big monster fight at the end.
Doomsday, I felt like, I don't know, I thought the way that Doomsday was put into the film was not the most elegantly done thing.
Yeah, I guess really at that point, if you've got the whole script as it is, they go, oh crap, the only thing we can do for a big fight at the end that isn't Superman and Batman fighting, because they need to, you know, align themselves and fight against a monster, is Lex Luthor in armor, or a big fucking monster.
Yeah.
So they went to, like, the only one they could think of, and then they're like, oh, and this also gives us the way to kill Superman and still be true to comics.
Yeah. And I thought that was a bit weak sauce, personally.
Yeah, fair enough. How the hell do you get Doomsday by combining Lex Luthor's blood and
Zod's corpse?
I'm like, was it meant to be like a kind of thing to Superboy?
Superman
made from Lex's DNA?
Yeah, that was what I was
Is that Superboy or does he have a different name?
Superboy is like half Superman, half
what's
Lex Luthor.
What's his like name?
What is it, like Clark Luthor or something?
No, I have no idea.
I can't remember. I don't know that much about Superboy.
I want to say it's Damian, but that's Batman's kid, right?
Damian Wayne.
Yeah, I was like, maybe that was an angle.
Yeah, that's what I felt when it happened.
Or am I reading too much into that?
Maybe that was some inspiration, because obviously Doomsday in the comics wasn't created in that way.
No.
It was some Kryptonian experiment or something. So I thought that was... I like the fact that when Doomsday appeared, Superman immediately like launched him into space.
Yes.
I thought
that was
clever.
Very cool.
But then it was like, oh, he fell back onto this uninhabited island, and then he attacked like the uninhabited docks or whatever.
Let's make sure we announce to the audience how many times that this area is uninhabited.
Yeah.
Don't worry, nobody's there. It's not going to be like the end of the other one.
Yeah.
I was a bit like, ugh, I don't care.
Yeah, I think I wanted to see a bit more rebuilding of Metropolis.
I loved having the crash ship just in the middle of the city. And, like, they made that, like, a sciencey area. They, like, blocked it off. They had some, like, quarantine gates. Dodgy government science was going on inside.
Yeah.
But outside the city was being built around it.
Yeah, I thought that was quite.
But they didn't really
handled.
Touch on it in any other way.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe like Batman needed to go there at some
point. Yeah, maybe Batman
or
could have been fighting low-level crime in an area where they hadn't rebuilt yet, and it was just mostly rubble. But people are still living there anyway. That type of thing.
Yeah, because they kind of changed the setting of it so that, like, Gotham was like a sister city to Metropolis.
Yeah, across the harbour.
Yeah, just across the water from Metropolis, which was interesting. I kind of felt like if Batman had been around for 20 years, as Alfred said he was in the film, like, surely he would have been mentioned in Man of Steel at some point. I don't know, but like, that was a bit
if the two cities are right next to each other, then you would think. I guess you can just say he was maybe retired at the time.
Yeah.
As another thing of they've taken from Dark Knight.
I'm kind of like, why did Clark Kent suddenly start caring about Batman so much in the film?
Yeah.
Like, was there a good reason for that?
They didn't really put it there.
It was just like it came up in the news and he was just annoyed because Perry was giving him some puff piece about sport, so he wanted to do something more serious. And yeah, he saw something about Batman branding people with his bat...
and being like...
bat knuckles.
This vigilantism is bad, but mine is good.
Yeah. So I think, what else is there to talk about? Like, Wonder Woman, obviously, was the other big person in the film.
Which is bad, but the bit, the bit where she was Wonder Woman in it was cool.
Yeah.
The way she fought, I think they made different enough from the way that Superman fought. Yeah. Like, lots of, like, very quick-moving camera things where, like, she looks like she stays still and the rest of the ground moves away from or towards the audience. Or she like leaps and jumps with a sword and stuff.
Yeah, the fact she used weapons.
That was that cool. Kind of thing. And the Lasso of Truth was there for a little bit, which was cool.
Yeah, I guess I just would have preferred if in that final battle Batman could have done more.
Something, yeah.
Yeah.
Or the Wonder Woman thing, though, if they had explained more about her rather than... here is a shot of her 100 years ago.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, that was, like, not very effective.
With her, like, war buddies.
Yes.
Yay.
Yeah, that was pretty pointless because it didn't really show us anything about Wonder Woman or anything like that. And especially because the World War One setting is an odd thing for Wonder Woman as well, because she's more associated with a World War Two setting, but whatever.
Here we go.
But, yeah, I just don't think what else was came to me that I was thinking of. There was something else involving... one of the kind of plot threads that they were following on.
The bullet?
Yeah, I mean, there was this whole thing about Lois trying to investigate what was going on and how Lex was trying to set up...
there's no reason for these evil guys to have the bullet, that type of bullet in the first place. They were using. If they just had, like, normal guns...
yeah.
...and shot bullets...
yeah, it wouldn't have been an issue.
Yeah, and if they're meant to be a covert thing that can't be traced back to you, Lex...
yeah.
...why would you give them special bullets? You wouldn't.
Yeah.
I was just there to have Lois do something.
Yeah, so I wasn't that impressed with that aspect. It was mostly the Batman stuff, to be honest.
Lots of callbacks to Dark Knight Returns.
Yes.
The nuke shot where Superman's in space.
Yeah, and he's all
hollowed out, looking like a zombie, and then is revitalized by the light. It was cool. A suit of armor, Batman suit of armor, in that whole fight.
Yeah, I quite like the bat armor
that was being cool.
implemented, especially because it seemed so useless again in a lot of respects.
Yeah, like when Superman was still full powered, he was still kicking Batman's ass, even when he was in the armor.
Yeah, and the armor was kind of futile.
Yeah,
kind of,
but then when Superman was like. Filled to the brim with kryptonite gas.
Yeah.
Not even you can see through this kryptonite gas. then the armor was effective. But as the like the effects wore off, it was really cool to see like less damage being done, and then it was just like punching a face that isn't moving again.
And I thought there was a really good... there was just something very kind of... I don't know if cathartic is the right word, but seeing Batman and Superman just, like, beating the hell out of each other. And a lot of people are like, oh, that was so grim and pointless and stuff. But yeah, I thought there was something really powerful about that, because it was like, oh, you take these two childhood heroes and seeing them basically want to, like, kill each other, essentially. There was something about that that was, like... sort of our popular culture in the throes of self-destruction. And the fact that they just weren't listening to each other, weren't trying to understand one another.
Superman goes down with the intention of talking and not fighting. He gets punched and is like, oh, hell no, punches back.
Yeah, and there was just that sense of the idea that the two of them couldn't, like, or they couldn't...
meet each other's points.
At least not at that stage, that there kind of needed to be some change occurred, which in this took the shape of the revelation about his mother's name. But the point where Batman had Superman on the ground and was like holding the spear over him, I was like, oh, just kill him. Like that, that I don't know. I was like, just wanted him to go through with it almost at that point.
No, that was another link back to Dark Knight when he's there and he's like, I could have killed you. I have you right here.
Yeah.
That was like why he cut him up the cheek was to like, do you bleed? Yeah. Here is me making you bleed.
Yeah.
It was that moment again, that same beat from the comics.
Yeah, I felt like they conveyed just those ideas quite effectively. Especially because Batman was like, yeah, it was like, oh, he felt weak, so what was he going to do? Just like destroy the strongest person that he could. Because he needed to feel validated or more secure or something. I felt there was something very effective about that, personally. And I feel like if they'd focused more on that ideological conflict.
Yeah, like, see how Batman's been operating for 20 years, yeah. But Gotham is still Gotham.
Yeah, I reckon they needed, like, a solo Batman film, like, before this or something.
I'm glad they didn't, but having one after will be cool.
There's just this bit where, like, Luthor says, oh, it's the gladiatorial match of all time, the son of Krypton versus the bat of Gotham. It's like, but you haven't established how formidable Batman's is, meant to be within the narrative of this universe, which I thought was a bit of a problem in Lex's reasoning there.
But it was cool to see, like, it being introduced to him as Bruce Wayne running into Metropolis to save
people. And he was so powerless to do anything about what was happening was very effective, I felt.
Yeah, particularly seeing the sequence of events from Man of Steel, from the perspective of someone on the ground who couldn't do anything. Like, lots of the same shots you saw, like the Zod and Superman flying through the sky, or the laser eyes cutting through the buildings, and you're like, oh, but from the perspective of someone on the floor trying to do good in that situation.
Yeah.
That was cool.
I thought that bit was a really good moment, and that it... suggested really effectively the kind of limitations of the powers and so on that they had available. And I was trying to think what... Oh, yeah, and I'm wondering if kind of... Again, the image of Batman later on when he's fighting Superman in the armor and everything, I realize it's a throwback to Dark Knight Returns, the Frank Miller comic book. But I'm also wondering if there was a little bit of a dig at kind of Iron Man and characters that. In that sequence, that sort of like, oh, your powered armor and everything, like, what's that really worth?
Yeah, in the scheme of things against, like, these odds that superheroes and stuff bring to the table.
Yeah, this idea of kind of man versus nature, does something like that really even the odds, or is it just a kind of shield for your mind against these feelings of weakness that I thought was interesting? So yeah, there's a lot of stuff in the film that's kind of half-assed, but there's also stuff in the film that's good.
Yeah, and there's too much good in the film for people to just dismiss
To completely write it off.
Yeah,
there's definitely a lot of interesting stuff there, a lot of effective imagery, and a lot of interesting characterization and ideas, which is mixed with a lot of really...
crap.
Yeah, crap, shameless
plot holes,
yeah, franchise and, like, building plugs. And stuff, yeah. So it really is a game of halves, essentially, the film.
I think the most legitimate way to not enjoy the film would be to walk in there wanting to see a Marvel movie.
Yeah, I would say so, because their attempts to do that were the least successful.
Exactly.
Part of the film was
when it was being its own film.
Yeah, when they were operating on their own terms, I felt like it was succeeding.
Yeah, exactly.
That being said, I kind of feel like in hindsight, it's like Man of Steel, Batman v Superman. I'm wondering, is it time to, like, does Zack Snyder need to, like, piss off at this point? Do other people need to be in the director's chair in these films?
Well, Affleck might do his own one.
Yeah.
I have no idea who's doing Suicide Squad.
Yeah, I'm...
But if that's successful, they'll get a sequel.
Yeah, someone else doing Wonder Woman, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. So, you know, hopefully there'll be a bit of kind of fresh blood to mix things up as these films go along, which will potentially allow the strengths to emerge above the weaknesses.
It'll be interesting to see when they decide to put Superman back in.
Yes, because there have been ideas of a Man of Steel sequel, but they obviously need to resurrect Superman.
Yeah.
To do that, I kind of felt like, oh yeah, of course Superman's going to come back to life.
Yeah, of course he is.
Then I've been like, Superman Returns did a bit at the end where you thought Superman had died, but he came back to life at the end as well.
They always do it. They couldn't, like, not do the little bit of, like, gravel hot rain or something. Yeah. I wanted to see him put in a glass coffin. That's what I wanted to see, the glass coffin, yeah. So he can vanish from that.
Oh, the other bit that was slightly ridiculous was the fact that at Superman's funeral, they were playing Amazing Grace on the bagpipes, which is what they're playing in Spock's funeral in Star Trek II, Wrath of Khan.
Well, Superman was the most human.
Yeah, I thought that was... I don't know if they thought that through entirely or if that was a deliberate reference.
Just like, what we need is bagpipes, because it's a funeral.
Yeah. I don't know. And there was some clunky stuff at the end where Batman's talking to Wonder Woman and he's like, we need to find the rest of the people like you. We should work together.
We need to form a league of justice.
People who are committed to not doing injustice.
We shall call it the Good People Squad.
Definitely some crap like that in there, but I'm keen to see extended edition when it comes out.
Yeah, apparently they're doing an R-rated.
Yeah, which is apparently going to have extended edition. Half hour of extra footage.
Oh, a whole half hour.
3 hours of Batman v Superman. Yes. Goodness.
It'll just be like extended clips when Wonder Woman clicks on each character.
Are you scrolling down the things of files?
The Flash's powers also include.
Yeah. He can vibrate through objects. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, honestly, I don't think it was, in its own terms, I don't think it was that, like, particularly worse than a lot of the mediocre Marvel films that have come out.
It was a lot better than the mediocre Marvel films. Like, come on.
Yeah, I thought there was a bit more going on than a lot of them. And
yeah, exactly. It had more soul to it than a lot from the Marvel machine has had lately.
Yeah, so even though I think, in some respects, it's a nasty corporate piece of marketing.
Yeah, which it definitely is at points.
Aspects of it are definitely good. Worthwhile.
Yeah, and I do feel that they redeem the movie.
Yeah, sort of like how Superman was redeemed because he definitely wasn't a killer or something. Maybe Batman was redeemed. Someone was redeemed. There's all this stuff about Jesus in there. I'm sure there are articles online that are about the messianic imagery.
There was a lot of that. There was even one point where Batman had that, which was in his nightmare sequence.
Yeah.
Where he was hung up between two
other thieves. Of that. I was like, he's like the two, Jesus between the two guys. Yeah, on the crosses, yes.
So in Batman's head, he is that figure. Whereas for the rest of the world, at least at that time, it's Superman.
Mm. I still wanted Batman to just, like, stab Superman with a spear, but, you know, we can't always get what we want.
Get what you want.
So,
hopefully...
You'll hear from us again next time one of these rolls around. Maybe Suicide Squad. Captain America Civil War, of course, is out soon. But I'm not optimistic about that, to be honest with you.
It could be fun. It could be fun. I liked a part in the trailer where the two sides are running at each other and people take to the sky because it looks like the bit in the animated series X-Men. Of X-Men at the end where both teams run at each other and some people are in the sky.
Yeah. I'm just curious to see how it's going to play out, but at least it's more cohesive than what they tried to do in this film.
Yeah, and Suicide Squad, that should be interesting. Will Smith,
Yeah.
That's Jared Leto as the Joker. Apparently he like went deep into character.
Yeah, that's what I read. And apparently
the last person to do that was Heath Ledger.
Mm.
And it all worked out fine for him.
Yep. Yeah, and that was just sort of a closing thing about Batman. I wondered if they were kind of relying on our knowledge of the Dark Knight films here, like they didn't feel the need to give us that much of Batman's backstory.
I feel like they were, at the same time, for a movie that we did feel that way, they did still show his parents getting killed in Crime Alley.
Yeah.
Which I didn't think they needed to do.
Yeah, but I guess it's like...
They could have just done him going to the mausoleum and having not seen Martha, the name on the thing, and then the Bat zombie coming out again.
Yeah. I don't know. I felt like they were kind of... They were relying on the culture's awareness of Batman.
Yes.
To an extent. And I kind of think they could have played that up more in terms of how Batman was this antithesis in some ways, or a foil to Superman. But, you know, that was just something they... would have built on more in a different film, the film that we didn't quite get. I like the fact that, like, as opposed to Dark Knight Returns, when he lived in, like, a cave underway, he lived in the Batcave in this, he had, like, the little modern lake house down.
Yeah, all the glass and...
And, like, so that Wayne Manor was still on the grounds, but it was, like, completely trashed. Like, that was a good... I don't know, I just felt all that imagery of Batman, there was something very cool. Very striking about that, that he seemed like a man who was kind of carrying on and didn't quite know why kind of thing.
Yeah, and he still had all these burdens upon him. And
there were some really good lines he had. I mean, I feel like he had all the best lines.
Yeah,
there was a bit where he said to Alfred, "We've always been criminals." I thought that was a really good line. And there was a line where he said... "I'm older now than my father ever was."
Yeah, that was a powerful one.
Yeah, it was a really good
moment. Something about being the last Wayne.
Yeah, there were elements there of kind of, again, these feelings of, you know, carrying on just because you're carrying on, and this sense of futility and impotence and so on. I felt like those ideas were conveyed really effectively.
Yeah, perfectly.
Which is, what I take away as a positive from the film. So maybe you agree, maybe you don't. There have definitely been, putting aside the critics, there have been mixed reactions.
Yeah, put aside the critics is what I said.
Well, I'm just saying, even looking at the kind of fan responses, there have been mixed reactions. But I think that's because
reactions are mixed.
Yeah, to me, my reactions internally to the film are mixed. Parts were good, parts were not good.
It's important to recognize both.
Yeah.
And not fanboy or anti-fanboy to either side.
Yeah, that's what I thought watching it.
Yeah. Same bat time, same bat channel.
See you around.